This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
All right, Pettycast time. Let's get petty. 713-572-4610. That Hopkins topic was a good one to prime the pump because I've already got a couple of texts here, Seth, of people petty that the Vikings were able to get a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs that same day that the Texans were only able to get a two for DeAndre Hopkins, who to that point was a better wide receiver than Stephon Diggs. Now, Diggs had great seasons in Buffalo, but that was a big thing that day.
The other part, too, that's annoying about both the Jadeveon Clowney and the Hopkins trade was how you'd hear from people around the league that they had no idea that it was even an option. Like, oh, we didn't realize we could have traded for him. Like, okay, whereas with Nick, if Nick desperately wanted to trade somebody, like, say, maybe perhaps a Deshaun Watson.
I'm just thinking.
I know, like, that's where it's, honestly, the difference, because people point out, hey, DeAndre Hopkins did this afterwards or what. It doesn't matter, including with Jadeveon Clowney. Because people like try to reverse engineer the Clowney trade and say, well, you know, he never ended up being the same type of player. Right, it doesn't matter. What was the value at the time?
At the time.
And how did you go about trying to trade him? And with both Hopkins and Clowney, the Texans were ham-handed in the operation.
Yeah.
If O'Brien and Caserio were working together and O'Brien said, I desperately want to get rid of this guy, he just isn't right, we know that Nick would have... he would have done more due diligence in getting the right price.
Yes, 100%.
Like, with Deshaun Watson, that was the extreme version of, man, who the hell's going to want him in this situation?
Yeah.
Turns out enough people wanted him, and one of them was the Browns.
Yep. Yeah. For sure. And Texter points out, the Vikings ended up taking Justin Jefferson with the first round pick they got from the Bills in that trade.
Right.
They were play upgraded over Stephon Diggs. They traded for a first round pick and got a much better wide receiver than Stephon Diggs.
The Bills GM had a really bad soundbite last year. Remember when he said something along the lines of, like, hey, it's not so easy to just go out and draft a Justin Jefferson. And people were like, wait, they did it with the pick that you traded them for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you bring that example up? Why is that the choice?
Right, yes. Let's get petty here. We got a lot of petty stuff to get to here. The first one is one I just want to read, and this one feels good. Apparently, Chris Burke, former Astro, was on the coverage. It looks like, I'm guessing, of the MLB draft on ESPN during the week, or he was on ESPN talking about something baseball. And they put the graphic up of his resume. And one of the things it says is 2005 World Series champion with the Astros. AJ Pierzynski, who was on the actual World Series champion White Sox, caught a gander of this. I guess that seems like it's been a big topic up in Chicago because it's John Greenberg, who is a Chicago media member, who tweeted the picture of Burke on there and says, on Friday, we kept asking, 2005 White Sox like A.J. Pierzynski about ESPN forgetting they won the World Series.
Yeah.
And then we get this happening on ESPN with them not only ignoring it, but giving that World Series to the Astros. Pierzynski says, this has to be a joke at this point. Be better, ESPN. They didn't win a game in that series.
My favorite part about this level of pettiness is this is what people, maybe this helps your mental health at home. Whenever you see an inaccurate graphic on television, immediately people jump to their conspiracy theories about, I can't believe ESPN, the corporation, and Disney is disrespecting us like this. This is in actuality what happens 99.9% of the time. Some entry-level employee yep. whose bosses don't understand how hard it is to actually get those graphics together has a list of 29 things he has to do in 33 minutes, and he screws it up.
Yep.
It's some kid who's fresh out of college working for what ends up being about $5 per hour, probably, because they gave him a $27,000 salary to work 12 hours. It's some kid in a bunker that screwed it up. It's not ESPN Corp. Also, this is where I'll stick up for ESPN. We cannot do this. We cannot, at the same time, be the people who say, I'm not going to pay that amount for ESPN every month. That's bogus. And then, in the same breath, say, ESPN's just not what it used to be. Of course it's not. We don't want to pay for what it used to be.
That's right.
It's not what it used to be because we refused to pay for what we were getting back then.
That's a great point.
We're spoiled children.
That's a great point.
And it's but we're petty about it, yes.
Yes, yeah. Petty and A.J. Pierzynski, definitely petty.
A.J., you're mad. Listen, I'll be petty towards Pierzynski, you idiot.
Yeah.
You've been around long enough. You might as well be yelling at an intern right now, which wouldn't shock me. If you told me Brzezinski's the type of guy that yells at interns, I'd say, yep, that tracks. Plus, you are not allowed to be as boring on television as you are, given the way that your personality was as a player.
Yeah.
You've done it. When he did an Astros game sometime
some point,
this season,
yeah.
did he
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on with him, man?
Yeah.
I feel like early on, he's gone the Romo route a little bit. Early on, I was like, you know what? I don't like Pierzynski, but this is pretty interesting. He just sounds bored now.
This is great. Seth's cranked up to 10 on this pettycast. This is awesome. All right, here we go. LeBron James. It looks like this was from it looked like he and Steve Nash were doing their podcast for a live audience. Sometimes these podcasts will take their show on the road, sell some tickets, and go do it at a theater somewhere. And apparently the question was, name a player. I'm ascertaining from the answer. I'm kind of playing Jeopardy here. But it feels like the question was, name a legend from the NBA, LeBron, that you think you would have been good playing with back in your playing days.
When you talk about inspiration, there was nobody more inspiring to me than Michael Jordan. I mean, for me, I think our games would have complimented as well. MJ was a flat out scorer. You know, he was a scorer. He had a scorer's mentality. If I had to pick him, but I know I can't pick him because I know how social media works. You're going to be like, oh, you want to play with Michael Jordan too? You to play with everybody else. I didn't ask the question. I'm only answering it, guys. I didn't ask the question. But MJ was the inspiration. Anthony Penny Hardaway was the inspiration to me. Grant Hill was the inspiration to me growing up. Like that point four, Scottie Pippen, that point four guys like Penny, yeah. like Grant Hill, like Scottie, those guys kind of inspired me because I kind of wanted to be that point four. So,
yeah.
Or there's some guys. I can see the headline already. LeBron wants to play with Michael Jordan. Like I see it already. It's weird.
That is petty.
I don't know. I feel more petty towards LeBron for like, A, all right, I don't think that's what people would say. B, but why? I thought you don't care, right? Like, trying to put up the image of somebody that doesn't care what people say or whatever. Like, oh, you can't give some credit to Michael Jordan because I'm afraid of the social media response.
Yeah, yes. I mean, he basically just said, "I hear and see everything," is what he
Poor
said
LeBron.
Right there. Yeah.
Poor LeBron.
Yeah.
Poor LeBron. It's so hard being LeBron.
It's tough,
you know, because he can't give a truthful answer about how nice it would be to play with one of the all-time greats.
You're 100% right. Like, he totally could have answered Michael Jordan, and I think it would have been fine. Like, that's got to suck going through life trying to anticipate and walk on eggshells about what the headline is going to be about what I'm going to say next. Having to think about everything that you say. All right, so that's LeBron. This got people petty up in Indianapolis. Miles Turner, former Pacers center, he'd been there for like a decade, part of the team that went to the NBA Finals, went to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. He hightailed it out of there. Tyrese Haliburton tears his Achilles, not going to play next year. So Miles Turner goes to Milwaukee, which is in the same division. They're kind of rivals. And said, well, why'd you go to Milwaukee? They asked him, why'd you go to Milwaukee? Well, I wanted to make sure I stayed in a competitive situation.
For me, you know, ultimately it was about just staying competitive. You know, 2 years ago, got to Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, last year we got to the finals. But, you know, being there, being part of it, winning basketball, it's just changed my entire perspective on this league. And I saw a chance to remain competitive here. And, you know, John, even Doc, has assured me that, you know, winning is a top priority here. And we just aligned with our visions.
Yeah. Yeah, Miles Turner, not a foxhole guy. You know who loves that move by him, though, Seth? Kendrick Perkins. Because remember Kendrick Perkins said, boy, if Devin Booker decides to stay in Phoenix, I will think less of him. That's a loser move right there. If Miles Turner had decided to extend with the non-Haliburton Pacers, loser move.
So Kendrick, I wanted to
Kendrick Perkins likes it. Yeah, yeah. But other than that,
I know it just, yeah.
It's so stupid.
Well, no. I don't, but it's not like he's taking a, okay, yeah. What were his options? It was
Turner? Well, staying in Indy, but they're not, to Turner's point, if he had stayed in Indy, that's probably not going to be a good team because they lost their best player for the season next year when Haliburton tore his Achilles. So he just said, I'm going to Milwaukee. Because I got Giannis there, and I got a taste of being in a competitive situation. I want to make sure I stay with a winner and stay with a competitive team. People in Indy are irate at Miles Turner right now.
Right.
So they're feeling petty towards him right now. And I want to skip down here. A lot of basketball today. This is last week, Jalen Williams of the Oklahoma City Thunder signed a max deal. It was the third max deal that OKC gave out in less than a week. They gave Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the MVP of the league, deservedly so, a max deal. They gave Chet Holmgren a max deal, which we'll see how that ages. And they gave Jalen Williams, who was an all-star this year, a max deal as well. This is a podcast. This is Gilbert Arenas' podcast. And this audio you're about to hear is the reaction of Kenyon Martin, longtime NBA player, former first overall pick, made over $100 million in the league. This is them reacting to the Chet Holmgren contract. Chet Holmgren, who hasn't made an all-star team, has played 147 games, got 5 years, $250 million. This is their reaction to it.
OKC and Chet Holmgren have agreed to a five-year rookie max extension, which will be worth up to $250 million.
15-8 gets you 250?
Yes.
God!
Up to 280. I thought it was 285.
No, so Shai got four, 285. Chet's got five, could be up to 250. I think he's got to make something in that range to hit that 250 benchmark.
From your rookie deal, too.
$535 million between those two players.
15-8 gets you 250?
He's played a total of 147 total games in his career. You 7-foot boy, you you just got to look like you about to do some
and that's because he got to stay healthy for that to even make sense for that long time.
I mean, he's 7-foot. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where Chet is going to ask for the max, and they're not going to be able to say no. Jalen Williams, you got MVP. Y'all going to get the same. You got a all-star.
All-NBA.
And an all-NBA, and you're going to make the same exact money as Chet.
Yeah. Now, here's the ironic thing. I am petty about this because I'm watching Kenyon Martin and Gilbert Arenas, guys who between the two of them played well over a decade in the league. Kenyon Martin played like 15 years in the league. Gilbert Arenas played over a decade. Combined, they made four All-Star games. Also combined, they made nearly $300 million. If this were the two of them still playing when they signed their big deals, there would be a podcast of guys from the late 80s or early 90s doing the same thing about their contracts that they got.
Well, yeah, Kenyon Martin averaged 12.3 points
for his career.
In his career, right, yeah. You know what? You told me about this. I'm going to fail on being petty about this a little bit because and maybe it's because I'm sympathizing with a former athlete. I think, if anything, it was more just older guys, kind of sitting in awe at what the money is these days, almost with a little bit of like, oh, boy, I'm like, yeah, that could have been me which I don't think any athlete that played from the 1990s and later has the right to do ever. Because it wasn't, you go back to the 70s and 80s, that's when guys
second
were making
jobs.
I remember Bruce Smith was the first defensive player to make $1 million a year.
Right.
So if Bruce Smith were to come out and say, wow, this is what guys are making or whatever. That's okay. Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Yep.
But ever since the 90s, it's just escalated so much to being kind of mind-blowing numbers that I choose to give them a pass on this.
Okay.
I can't be as petty towards it as the – now, if they had said, look, I would have – I'm better than – I'm the guy, the kind of guy that should be making this kind of money.
Yeah. Were you ever the guy that people were aghast at the money you were making? Were you ever Chet
Holmgren? There was at least one year where I think that I was I was in the top five of defensive tackles.
Yes!
I remember hearing somebody say something like, this guy, white defensive tackle? Are you kidding me?
And you looked at them and just went like this instead of sweeping the money off your hands. You did the Johnny Manziel.
I knew the position I was in. I appreciated it.
Hell yeah, man. Oh, yeah. All right. I don't inject a lot of WWE into the Pettycast. In fact, I think this is the first time. But this was just so funny last night. LA Knight is a wrestler. I think he happens to be Nick Caserio's favorite wrestler right now. LA Knight, becoming a big star. On Saturday night on NBC, they had a WWE card where LA Knight was fighting Seth Rollins. And Rollins legit went down with a knee injury, legit tore his knee in a match. So they had to stop the match, check out his knee, restart the match just so Seth Rollins could take a finisher and get pinned so they could, say that there was an end to the match.
Uh-huh.
I don't even think LA Knight was supposed to win the match. Once Rollins tore his knee, they just wanted to finish it and get the hell out of there. So last night on Monday Night Raw, LA Knight is getting interviewed, and he says this to Seth Rollins.
Seth, from the bottom of my heart, I want to wish you a speedy recovery. And I'm going to tell you why I want to wish you a speedy recovery. Because it was just last week that I said I want to take your dignity. I want to hurt you. I didn't get a chance to hurt you because you hurt your damn self. So I want you to get better. I want you to come back, and I want you to let me hurt you the right way. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, Petty.
That is good. Very petty.
I hope you get better so I can do you proper.
That's like the old, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I wasn't the one that hurt your knee. That kind of thing. Like very, very, very empty. Wishes there.
What happens in WWE when somebody gets injured on the fly like that and it's unexpected and it's not part of the script or whatever? So they just got to make a decision in the moment.
LA Knight wasn't even supposed to win that match supposedly on Saturday. So
also got to factor when you're in that moment. You also got to factor in what are the other storylines that unfold tonight and tomorrow?
Dude,
because you can't screw up whatever the storylines are too much on the fly.
Yeah, I think it's obviously the health of the guy takes priority over everything depending on the severity of the injury. But to your point, Seth Rollins was the guy they're building everything around right now. You know what I mean? This is like Deshaun Watson tearing his ACL in week 8 back in the day. It just changes.
The NFL scriptwriters had to get to work.
It was
a lot of shuffling of papers after that.
They weren't planning on that, man. That's right. There's your petty cast. We'll read some of your petties that you send in. Most of them have to do with either the DeAndre Hopkins trade or the word tutty.
Does anybody approve of the use of tutty?
I'm glad y'all don't like tutty either. Sorry, I was driving. I couldn't text earlier. We hate tutty. Tutty and Chip.
I don't know who started it, but I think we should kill him.
Yes.
We should really, really, whoever coined that phrase, tutty, should really die a slow and agonizing death.
I agree. All right.
A really bad one. An embarrassing one, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Your search history is exposed as you die your slow, slow and painful death.
You've thought about this. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Could Nick Saban coach again? Should Nick Saban coach again? This is the biggest topic at SEC Media Days right now. We will hear from one of Nick Saban's former assistants on that topic, and we'll give you our take on it as well. That's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. SEC Media Days is going on. That's always the spiciest of the media days because they, you know, they kind of run things. It's evened out a little bit in college football, but they haven't won a championship in 2 years.
Those media days, though, too. We sometimes get some epically bad takes out of people.
Yeah.
Remember when Mike Gundy was at the media day, the conference media day? He had said that was when he. Didn't he try to explain how he had looked at the BAC calculator? And he made some argument
like that
for why somebody's DUI wasn't a big deal or something. Yeah,
something like that, yes.
Hopefully we get something epic like that.
Yes, yes. Well, the biggest topic we've gotten from SEC Media Day is two things. One, their commissioner Greg Sankey spoke about the college football playoff yesterday, and the rumor has been that it's going to go to 16 teams and that the Big 12 and the SEC are going to angle to get X amount of guaranteed spots for each conference. I think it's four apiece for each conference. Apparently, the SEC and the Big Ten are not as simpatico on that. The Big Ten and SEC getting those guaranteed four spots. The SEC, at least according to Greg Sankey, is kind of okay with staying at 12 right now. The Big Ten is the one that's really trying to get guaranteed spots and get it to 16, at least according to Sankey. That was one topic. The other one was Nick Saban. You know, and this is... We're still in a new era here where Nick Saban is not coaching at Alabama anymore. You know, he's had his first year here on air on television. He was very, very good, I thought, Nick Saban, on ESPN on game day. But here is Lane Kiffin, and he's not the only one saying this, but this was Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss coach, former assistant under Saban, saying that he thinks Nick Saban's going to come back and coach at some point.
I wouldn't be surprised. I kind of always thought that was going to happen. I kind of thought it happened after 1 year, but and I say that just because even seeing recent stuff with him and talking to him on the phone, first of all, I have no knowledge that he's coming back. I don't think anybody does that. I just he's so sharp still. I almost feel like it's a waste that he's not. No disrespect to the media and what you guys do, but his ability to coach players and change lives in that, and he's so good at it. I just think he'll be back, whether that's NFL or college.
Do you think Nick Saban comes? Nick Saban's 74 years old. We should preface it with that.
Yeah, the difference between Nick Saban and Bill Belichick is that Belichick went to college, and it was a surprise But the way I felt about it was that the college game has become a lot more like the NFL than it is. It's closer to being the NFL and the way the NFL operates right now than it is to the way college football used to be. And it's kind of a natural transition that Belichick might actually have some advantages in operating in the current state of college football. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Saban, he very specifically cited the current state of affairs in college football as a reason that he doesn't really want to coach college football anymore. And it wasn't like he wasn't even being petty about it or anything. He was, I think, trying to kind of just plainly say the reasons that I loved coaching, those things have kind of vanished. Mm-hmm. And the way we recruit now, I'm not into it. So I think if he does come back, I think it might be as a defensive coordinator. I think he might look at it and really just like the challenge of being a defensive coordinator where somebody else can worry about all the extra BS that's in college football right now.
Okay, that's interesting because you think that feels like to me, Seth, you know, when egos get involved, that feels like to me, like Cam Newton, when he finally, you know, when the NFL finally cashed in their chips on Cam Newton, I don't think it was because Cam Newton couldn't play. I think it was because nobody viewed him being able to be a backup anymore.
You know, so, they viewed him as a backup and they didn't like him as a, they didn't think he would be good in that role well.
Well,
I think that's where it comes down to the individual. Think of all the reasons that Bill Belichick would never accept a job at UNC. How would his ego allow that? I mean, it's still a head coaching position, but a lot of people thought, no, he'll never take a job like UNC because that's beneath him.
Yeah.
He just wants to coach.
Yeah, yeah. This is levels, though. Like, this, Belichick doesn't report to anybody. I mean, he reports to the Board of Trustees, but Belichick is running things in North Carolina.
Right.
Nick Saban would theoretically be reporting to some, unless he feels like I'm the boss of the defense, you know.
He's going to report to somebody, but he's also going to select a situation where he trusts the head coach or something. The difference is that I think Nick Saban, if you look at the spectrum of college coaches, there's some that are really, really good head college coaches because they're such great recruiters.
Yeah.
Maybe they're good leaders of men and motivators, but they're really not as much about the X's and O's. Whereas Saban was very much an X's and O's type of guy. And I think I remember having a conversation with Dom Capers about this once that, you know, Dom, it wasn't a surprise. Now, Dom had never won a Super Bowl as a head coach or anything, so it's very, very different. But we were just having a conversation about how it's really nice being a coordinator sometimes because it's all about the football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you just kind of get to live in that world. And I could very much see Saban having a part of him that says, hey, if you set aside the ego and everything else, I just really love working on the nuts and bolts of the defensive side of the ball. And that might appeal to him.
Well, and if what Kiffin was saying towards the end there is applicable about impacting young people, that's a chance to really do that, you know, as a defensive coordinator. So, you know, he's back with his hands in the clay on a bunch of young players, wherever that might be, you know.
Another really bad example because of how many differences there are. Mm-hmm. But I just remember when Paul Pasqualoni was the defensive line coach with the Texans.
I do, yeah.
How weird that was, because, I mean, he was a head coach at Syracuse for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, one day, you see him out there. I mean, I knew that they had hired him, but the first time I saw him out there at training camp, it was a weird disconnect. But he's a guy that just wanted to keep coaching. He was a head coach a couple of times, but he was also a defensive coordinator and a defensive line coach. And I think that's you can't look through your own filter or project how you might feel in that situation and think that Nick Saban's going to be the same way.
No.
That, okay, well, how could he go down from such a lofty perch? I don't know. He might just really want to get back into being an actual football coach.
You're 100% right. Because if you were to ask me, like, what advice would you give Nick Saban? I would say, I tell him to stay in TV. It's fun. It's easy. You're not recruiting. You're not on the road all the time. You're not dealing with agents for 18-year-olds, which, as you pointed out, is a big reason why he left in the first place. But that's a bogus answer because I'm not Nick Saban. I'm not even close. The way Nick Saban is wired, you know, like, I never would have put myself in position to even have the option to be in TV like Nick Saban is right now. You know what I mean?
Reading Belichick's book, There's a section in there that's relevant to something you and I had discussed, which is you were talking about, well, why won't he just stay in media because of the hours and all that? And it sounds like from his book that he was working the same hours when he was preparing for TV shows and everything.
I believe that
he was as a coach, because what Belichick does, Belichick, when he was kind of explaining his work ethic, was that I for Belichick, his joy, I think, is just flat out working and grinding. And to him, the way he presents it, it doesn't even sound like a grind, because he looks at it as a big game of like, how am I going to do this? How can I fit in all the hours in the day? How can I do all the things that I need to do to be prepared? And so for him, there's no part of him that thinks about going back and taking a coaching job that thinks, yeah, but I don't want to work those hours anymore.
No.
To him, that is his contentedness in life, is just, hey, I'm working towards a goal, and the challenge is figuring out how can I fit more hours in, or how can I fit more work into a day than other people are doing, and how can I do it more efficiently.
It's a really good point, and you've read the book, so you've read the Belichick book.
But I'm also paraphrasing, but the general theme I think was that.
Sure. Well, and I think that's why he had like six different gigs when he was in media. Remember, he was on that Inside the NFL show. He's going on McAfee all the time. He was doing stuff for at least one or two other outlets.
He was doing a lot of film prep for it, and I could tell when I watched some of the things, this looks like a two-minute blurb on television, but to pick the plays that he wanted to talk about, he probably watched 8 hours of film.
No doubt.
And then watched film on each of the guys in the play to see what type of players they were and everything.
Well, and think about that, too, and he probably took great pleasure in this. When you're the head coach of a team, when you're breaking down film during the week, it's on one team, whoever your next opponent is. That guy goes into every Tuesday morning after the Monday Night Football game, like, which of these 32 teams am I going to watch today?
Yeah, it's kind of overwhelming.
It's like a buffet where you're like, you go to the brunch over a Cadillac bar, and there's eight different stations over there on a Sunday morning.
There was one little blurb in his book, and if you buy his book, my experience was the first couple chapters, I was not optimistic at all. I thought, it gets better and better as it goes along. But one part, he talks about adopting new technology, and I think this is a part where I love the lesson in it, because it's what so many other people tell you in business and what have you, or in life. It's that he's very open to the new technology and the way that they can utilize it to prepare and everything, but you can never fall into the trap of thinking, oh, I'll be able to do the same amount of work in less time. Because your competitors are also using those same tools. So what it becomes is, no, never get it in your head that you're going to work less than your competitors. It's you just have to know how to adopt those things. I mean, think about email. Think about what a great time saver email was going to be back in the day. And if anything, it's compounded the amount of work you have to do, because everybody's communicating via email at light speed all the time.
Yep.
So yeah, I think his joy in life is figuring out how to get an edge on people and pack more into a day than other people are doing.
Yeah.
So for him to, whether he's a head coach at UNC or a head coach in the NFL or anything, it's this game that he plays of, okay, how am I getting these edges? And as long as I think he's still physically and mentally capable of doing it, he's probably going to keep doing it that way.
Multiple texts saying that your idea on Saban is very interesting, about coming back and just wanting to be a defensive coordinator, just wanting to coach ball. These texters all point out this, though, this dynamic. No head coach would have Saban as an assistant, because the alumni would be calling for him to be the head coach after the first bad game.
Right. And that's where it comes down to, if Saban doesn't want to be a head coach, then he's not going to be the head coach.
Yeah.
Now, he could change his mind somewhere along the way, but I think there's a huge asterisk on this, which is it would have to be the right situation. And it has to be with a head coach that Saban really likes, has probably been friends with for a long time, that's a made man already.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would be, if I were a young college coach, there's no way in hell I would. I take that back. If I were a young college head coach, my first thought would be, there's no way in hell I'm hiring him because he's my immediate replacement. But then I would check myself and say, wait a second. Like, what am I doing here? My job isn't about preservation. My job is about putting together the best staff possible.
Yeah.
And as long as I can, if I can use him for overall success, then that's the best thing I can do.
Executing your idea, if it's about ego, is way more about the ego of the head coach than the ego of Nick Saban.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? I think, yeah, and that's that falls into the, like, wait a second, am I going to live in constant fear of, if you're a good head coach, you should hope that your underlings are smarter than you.
You should win at hiring in any job where you're hiring people, 100%, 100%.
You have a manager that hires people who aren't threats to take his job, that's a bad manager.
That's a bad manager, no question about it. All right, Will Anderson. Speaking of Nick Saban, guess who got Will Anderson ready to go dominate for the Texans? Nick Saban back in the day. He was on the Ross Tucker podcast at Radio Row. Ross just dropped it yesterday, though. Some good nuggets from Will Anderson, including the guy he most enjoys watching at his position. We'll have that for you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Will Anderson Jr. was on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. This interview is actually from back on Radio Row, but it's timeless because it involves two of our favorite people.
You know what's interesting, Sean? I did an interview with Ross Tucker during Radio Row, and guess whose interview was released before Will Anderson's?
Seth Payne.
Yeah. I think Ross did a smart thing, which was... He did a boatload of interviews during the Super Bowl, and then he's kind of waiting. It was smart to wait until now to release the Will Anderson one, because that's like, this is a dead time to where he probably, if he's trying to keep kind of his viewership numbers stabilized, Will's going to be a big hit now compared to whenever at 2 a.m. he dropped the Seth Payne video.
Well, he did a good job. Ross did too. He was probably cognizant of that like, hey, I'm not going to use this tomorrow or anything.
Yeah.
I'll use it in the dead days of July when I'm at the beach. Yeah. Ross is like on vacation right now. That I know from following him on social media. So this is him still able to get some content out there probably.
Yeah.
So Ross did a good job of asking questions that don't get obsoleted in this interview. You know, they're just...
Right, yeah, they're more kind of general. I could tell that's what he was doing when... I'm joking about, you know, comparing my relevance to Will Anderson's right now, obviously. Right. But I could tell when he was doing the interview with me, I told him afterwards, I was like, oh, you're not, this is like for the off season, right?
For April.
Like, well, yeah, yeah. I'm not putting you out the day after the Super Bowl.
Smart, Seth. Man. Someone's got a pretty big ego if they're thinking you're going to get dropped on the Monday after the Super Bowl. All right, here's Will Anderson with Ross Tucker. Here's Ross asking, Will, what do you need to get to the next level?
What do you need to add to your game so that people are mentioning you with Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons and Hendrickson and any of these guys that are considered elite? It feels like you're just below those guys, yeah, right now in terms of public perception. Yeah. I'm not saying, yeah, you're not those, but what do you need to do to get to that level that people are talking about you like they talk about those guys?
Consistently. Like, I have to do it consistently every game. It can't be a drop off, staying healthy. And me and my coach talked about that. Like, you got to consistently do that, like, every game. And, you know, it's just more, doing more. And doing more is just, you know, we want to talk about sacks and stuff like that. Like, the sacks are going to come, but, like, doing more, like, more forced fumbles. Like, got to get the ball out more when you're sacking a quarterback. Like, that's one of my off-season things that I want to work on, is, like, reaching with precision, like, really, like, turning that corner tight and really going for, yeah, the ball, getting more of those. Like, those guys have a lot of forced fumbles, a lot of strip sacks and stuff like that. And, like, that's what separates them. You know, that adds another thing to your career and stuff like that. So just doing that and just being more consistent in my game, like, I feel great where I'm at right now, but, like, it's more left on the table. Like, I'm starving for it right now. You know, I'm hungry for it. So this offseason, you know, I just want to continue to get better, be consistent, and, man, just keep growing and learning.
And that's very consistent with what he's said locally when doing interviews and every other time in the offseason, which I like, because he's not just coming up with it in the moment.
No.
He talked in his first press conference this offseason about getting the ball out, all of those things. Those are the things he's focused on. But in going back and watching Jared Verse from the Rams, who's a rookie last year, there were so many similarities to Will Anderson's rookie year. There were similarities to J.J. Watt's rookie year. You can see so many times as I'm watching Jared Verse, and it reminded me of Will Anderson's rookie year, where, oh boy, oh, he was so close. Oh, he was so close. If he could have created a little bit of separation at the top of his rush, if he could have just done this little thing a little differently, you're looking at 15, 16 sacks. Will was like that his rookie year, and he refined some of those things, and lo and behold, he ended up, you know, I know sacks are, you know, it's dicey using just sack numbers, but he improved on a lot of that stuff. His sack number went up, but I think Will still has, with what he talked about, getting the strip sacks, just those last two steps before you get to the quarterback are so important. It's one of the reasons that Jadeveon Clowney was really, really good at pressuring the quarterback, but not great at getting him down, because Jadeveon just was, part of it was, I think, the type of athlete he was, but also that he never got to the level of refinement that he could have.
Yeah.
Whereas with Will Anderson, I trust that he's going to get more refined every year.
He's totally focused on it. You know, like,
J.J. Watt, you go back and watch J.J. Watt's rookie year, and, you know, talk about a guy that was focused on improving. So many opportunities. I watched the first three games of his rookie year once, and I was like, he left three tackles for a loss and two sacks on the table.
Yeah.
Just because he was kind of playing wildly and unrefined and everything. So, like I expect Jared Verse to work on all those things. I think he's going to be really, really good. Will Anderson's the same way. We've seen the evidence of him working on it.
Who does Will Anderson enjoy watching at his position?
Bosa was a good guy that I watched all the time, just because we're in the same scheme, and I just wanted to, yeah, see how he did things. And then Myles Garrett is a guy that I really watch a lot too, because we're in the same scheme too, but we kind of do some more of the similar things too on the same side.
Yeah, Bosa's an interesting guy, because he's not – He's so good with his hands.
Yeah.
He doesn't really beat him with speed.
Yeah.
It's all like
he has really big steps.
Yeah.
He gains really a lot of ground on his steps. He has really big steps. He uses his hands really well. His leverage is amazing. I love watching him. He does a lot of speed to power. Then he gets the O-lineman hands on him, and he gets to, like, swipe him off.
Yes.
Forklift, bull forklift, long arm, things like that. So from that aspect, I kind of watch him, and Miles does the same.
If you're not watching on YouTube, Seth loved this answer.
I got so excited with that one because I've told you before that I think that Nick Bosa is the guy that I would most want Will to emulate,
yeah,
because there are a lot of similarities in body type and athletic profile. They don't, neither Nick Bosa or Will Anderson are really, it's not like they have really fluid hips. They're not like Danielle Hunter, who can kind of Gumby his way around people at times. It's a speed and power game. And what Bosa has in terms of an advantage when he came into the league is that Bosa was a hand-in-the-dirt defensive end from high school on up. So he was a lot more refined when he came into the league. Will's learning some of that. But one of the things that Bosa does really well, I was so excited when I heard Will Anderson say this, was that he takes these huge steps. So Bosa gets across the line of scrimmage really quickly, and in his first three steps gets so deep into the backfield that it really puts the offensive tackle into a bind. And Will has that same really good get-off, but when he was a rookie, I wanted to see him emulate that, just take these huge, giant steps. And I think he's working on that. And I loved hearing that. Loved hearing that, partly for my own ego, because. So
I've been saying that. Yeah.
I also like him bringing up Rod Wright, the defensive line coach.
Yeah.
I think Rod Wright's been really good for Will. And there's a YouTube video out right now the Texans put out of him, Rod Wright mix.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. No. I think I'm going to put that on the list of things to watch for today. I bet that's good. Everything
but the strip
hear.
Sacks, if we see more strip sacks out of Will.
Yeah, I loved hearing how focused he was on that, you know?
Well, it is, Sean. Okay, so with Will, and again, I'm not comparing myself to Will Anderson in total, obviously, but like, there's an element of Will's personality that I can empathize with, and that he's kind of an excitable dude. And sometimes as a pass rusher, as a pass rusher especially, when you're a hyped up guy, those last two steps you got to almost kind of slow down and let everything come to you. You got to get loose and relax, because especially these days, the Kyler Murrays of the world they disappear so fast.
Yeah.
And I'm watching Jared Verse, and some of his missed sacks were on guys like Kyler Murray. And you can tell Jared Verse is wired kind of like Will Anderson. Like, man, this guy's got the right kind of attitude.
Yeah.
But you
got
to learn how to just at the last – those last couple steps, you got to slow down and let it and just relax. And that's when because you got to also have the hand-eye coordination to focus on the ball and not just be sack hungry, sacks are great, but a strip sack is the divine, that's the pinnacle of existence right there.
Well,
a strip sack, there's nothing you can do to help your team more than a strip sack.
Yep.
Because it's a turnover. Hey, interceptions are great, but how often do they get back to the line of scrimmage? Strip sack, there's a chance for a fumble recovery for a touchdown. If the offense recovers it, they're still screwed on that. It's a drive killer.
Yeah.
So that is like, for him to get three or four extra strip sacks, that can sometimes equate to three or four extra wins in a game.
Dude, that is a recipe to finally get a 2-seed or a 1-seed in the AFC if you're a good enough team.
Yeah.
You know, the offense does its job. Those are the plays that change games.
You get a strip sack on the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're getting at least a field goal out of it.
Yep.
It's such a big deal.
Yeah. If you're looking for another mic'd up to kind of capture the phenomenon you're talking about, Seth, with Will maybe getting amped up at that last step before getting the quarterback, he was mic'd up, if I'm not mistaken, his rookie year for the Saints game in week 6. Derek Carr was the quarterback. They won the game 20-13, I think, was the final score. But Will Anderson, that was when Will only had one sack on the season. It was in the opener against Lamar Jackson. And he went like the next 7 games without a sack. That was at the peak of him in a sack drought. And they had him mic'd up. And there must have been 5 times in that mic'd up where he's like, I had him.
Also, you know what? The funniest thing to watch, any defensive lineman listening can probably empathize with this. There's a part, because Will is not a selfish dude at all, but it's so frustrating that sometimes you miss the sack, but somebody else gets it, but you're so pissed at yourself that for a moment... And it could look like you're a selfish player because somebody else gets a sack, but you're so angry at yourself that you're like, you're beating yourself up over it. You're like the wide receiver who is upset after a win because you only got 3 catches.
You're Deontay. Johnson.
The key is that it passes.
Yes.
And then you get excited. You realize what you just did and you feel bad about it and you go congratulate your buddy. But in that moment, you're the most selfish person in the world.
That's hilarious.
You're like,
That's really funny. All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Up next, let's circle back to the Astros. It's the All-Star break, but we got to take inventory here, man. What are the reinforcements looking like coming back from the break later this week? We'll do the power rankings of that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.